Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz here on this Friday, and today will be brought to you by BarkBox. That's BarkBox.com. You get one free extra month of BarkBox at www.getbarks.com/The Bubba Show and take care of your pooch because you need to, because they take care of you. In the meantime, what wild markets, huh? Crazy day on Thursday. You had the NASDAQ was motoring along up huge, and before you knew it, it was down huge, and it was down like over 100, and then it came back and rallied, but again, eventually ended up selling off, for the day. But certainly interesting, and of course, you combine that with the Dow that was up like 100, and you combine that with a positive VIX. In a mixed market, it's kind of strange. But again, it's kind of what we said. You know, there's money moving around. And of course, the Dow was edged along with another big outstanding performance from Boeing. Continues to fly. It's amazing. That is amazing. A stock that big can go up that much. But again, you know, we're in the new markets. Remember that. That's what the experts keep telling us is we have new markets now. And I guess the new markets, they don't know anything bad. So we'll see what happens. Of course, you know, I just say, markets never announce themselves. Just be careful. Be careful out there. So we had to Amazon. Got to about 10.85 and then reversed and got down to 10.14 in the aftermarket. Baidu went crazy. It was down at 197. Right, spiked up to 217 and now is back down around the 210, 212 level. And even Intel had action. But I think one of the bigger stories is even Starbucks had some crazy action. It was like... It was wild what was going on. I mean, it was, I looked at it once and I go, okay, it's good for me. And then I look at it again. Oh, wait, no, it's not so good for me. And then I looked at it again and it was good for me again. I go, what the hell's going on here? It was pretty good, but it's wild. You know, this action is of course, very interesting. And Starbucks had an $8 range after the close, which is for Starbucks, you got to understand, it doesn't usually trade that kind of range. So really interesting kind of stuff. But again, this is more indicative of, you know, markets that are on edge. And, you know, we've got the dollar continues to get plummeted. The dollar is worthless, of course. And, you know, the companies like that. Now, again, I never kind of understood that real relationship myself, but I don't know. It's to me, it's just another way of fleecing Americans out of their cash. It's like, you know, okay, we get a cheaper dollar. Well, we'll get some interest. We'll get some buyers. But why do I want buyers at prices that are, you know, that are not good for me? It just, again, it never was a logical thing to me. But, you know, I suppose it could be right. It just doesn't seem right that if I'm getting less dollars, if my dollar is worth less, so if my dollar is only worth 50 cents, then I'm only getting half price, right? I mean, it's like, you know, if I get, you know, euros, they're getting a 20% discount on my stuff. I never, like I said, to me, it was always kind of dumb, but, you know, who am I? I just my opinion. I don't really know. I mean, again, I am not an economist. And I don't even play one on the radio. I just, you know, give you my opinion. And to me, it's silly. But again, you know, that's the problem. You're using a free floating system that has the geniuses who can manipulate it around. And so that they can satisfy their own debts and continue to run a legalized Ponzi scheme. So that's one of the reasons you get these dollar moves. And of course, okay, you know, like I said, I think that something smells fishy because, you know, when you look at some of the dollar denominated commodities, they're not doing as well as one might think, considering how much the dollar's gotten pounded. Okay. But, you know, I guess we leave that to the economists and their ridiculous cheer on for inflation. You know, this is one of the problems when you take a market and you destroy a free market and you now make it manipulated. Okay, you don't get the true what's going on. So what the real deal is what? Well, we don't know. The real deal is that the markets right now are still trying to go higher. And of course, the economy, you know, I don't know. I keep asking the same question and I can't seem to get an answer and nobody agrees with me. But the company's earnings are great. Yes, I understand that. But they're billing built on cutting down cost. So to me, again, something again that's not really logical to me, and it's hard for me to get my head around it because it certainly isn't a business that I'd be running. You know, I'd be very happy if I was the CEO of some of these big corporations or obviously a big stockholder. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, we're not growing, so what's the future? But again, you know, this is the story of the new market, and of course. You know, every TV pundit is chirping them up and, you know, telling you how good everything is and how strong they're going to be. And, you know, listen, I'm not wishing bad on anybody. I just, you know, I've seen enough numbers over history to know that history will repeat itself and there'll be a reason. And what that reason is, we don't know yet. I mean, certainly it's not political right now because they're at war. Or maybe that's why the market's going higher because, you know, the investors know that not much can go on because of the battle that's going on between them. You know, we'll see. I certainly wouldn't be committing new money here unprotected into this market. And again, you know, I heard somebody this morning talking about how to, you know, well, buy cheap puts, which is ridiculous. There's no such thing as a cheap put, but also, well, maybe just take some profit out. Well, why would you want to get out of the market? I mean, there's a better way to be in and protect yourself. You know, again, and if you know that the market's going to go up 9% year over year, why would you try to get out? You'd figure out a way to protect and stay in. Again, one of the problems is once you get out, it's hard to get back in. Because, again, then you're trying to time the market. And if any of us, including me, could time the market like that, then there'd never be a reason for protection. You'd never have a losing trade. So we know right there, there's some falsehood in there, right? It can't happen that way, and we get that. So we want to make sure that we are prepared correctly to be able to trade, and we want to make sure we protect ourselves. But in the meantime, knowing now, you don't want to say, okay, well, I'm only going to trade from the short side, or I'm going to sell everything. No, what you want to say is, I'm going to get myself prepared to be better and to put myself in a better position. And, you know, so I don't have to make that puke decision when it comes down to it. Because there's going to be a puke point at some point. Once again, you know, again, this time is not different. As much as they want to sell the new market idea, you know, and I love the theory that, you know, well, if we get these tax cuts, the markets are going to explode. How about if we get these taxes, maybe the markets will collapse. You know, maybe they've built in so much to it that they can't do anymore. Again, I'm not saying. Well, no. I my opinion is there can't be much more good news than already priced into this market. And I could be wrong. Again, I'm not saying that we're going down today. I'm just saying that, you know, I've seen these types of markets before, and when stocks like Boeing go up 10% in a day, that's unusual. That doesn't typically happen in stocks like that, and it would be something that would. That should grab your attention if it hasn't. Okay. But anyways, for you listeners of the Bubba Show, BarkBox is offering an opportunity to receive one free extra month of BarkBox at BarkBox.com. Listen, they got great stuff. They put toys and treats for your dog. They deliver something every month. Really a great setup. And if you want to receive one free month, go to getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's getbarkbox.com/The Bubba Show to receive an extra month of BarkBox for free. Also, don't forget about libertytalk.fm. You know, that's where the Bubba Show is. And of course, the Sporting Edge airs there on Saturdays, which is tomorrow. So make sure that you check the boys out and also download it. And of course, Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. And of course, check out the site. If you want to get on my, you know, my newsletter, that's free. You can certainly be on my distribution. Love to have you aboard and, you know, check it out. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break and come back and talk more about what's going on in the world and or more importantly, what's going on in the world according to Bubba. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you. And of course, this segment will be brought to you by Casper.com. You can go to Casper.com and receive $50 towards any mattress purchase at www.caspertrial.com/The Bubba Show. In the meantime, are you guys catching this stuff with Anthony Scaramucci? I mean, I happen to know the Mooch, and of course, we've been friends for a while, and, you know, I think I love what he's trying to do, and, you know, I don't understand why we are so concerned with the bickering that goes on in the White House. I don't understand why everybody says, well, like, Donald Trump is not presidential. Well, what is presidential? Was Bill Clinton presidential when he was hanging with Monica Lewinsky? Okay. I mean, again, what's presidential? You know, does that mean that we have to be a sap and take the beat down from anybody who gives it to us? Or is it trying to get the job done? Now, you know, I think Scaramucci is going to be a big deal for Trump, because I think he'll help get things done. I think he's very smart. Obviously, very successful. You know, he was a lawyer, and, you know, he tells a story, but I know he'll come and tell it here one day, but he bombed out of Goldman Sachs the first time and went back and became obviously very successful. But again, I think he'll be a big help to Trump. I don't know why everybody's so offended by somebody telling it like it is. I think that's to me more important. You know, instead of worrying about these little teeny prickly rules that we have to always hear about, you know, why don't we just tell like it is? Then there wouldn't be as much of an issue. And I think that to me is something that I'd like to, you know, see more of. So I'm happy that he's there. I'm congratulating him. He's doing great. And, you know, in the meantime, you know, the Fed, of course, reported on Wednesday, and of course they did nothing, you know, and I think the reason they really did nothing is they don't know what the hell to do. You know, one of the things you have to remember is that I don't think that they have a clue of what they're going to do next. I think they're hoping that the market takes them out and figures it out for them. But of course, that's not going to happen, because, you know, the Wall Street junkies, right? They're going to keep pounding away at what this is, the free money. All right. They're not going to help the Fed out here. They're going to continue to use what the Fed is making available to them, which is why you see so much buying all the time, is because money is so cheap. It's hard not to, you know, there's no place else to go. So it becomes, again, one of these interesting little battles. And of course, again, I'm convinced, in my personal opinion, that the Federal Reserve has absolutely no idea, which is why they didn't do anything. But of course, you know, Janet Yellen herself said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, well, the market's in a bubble, or it's, you know, it's too high. Well, she's not doing anything to stop it, so she must own equities. I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, again, you need to raise rates, because if you've got such a dynamic economy here, but you can't get any money, again, it doesn't help. You know, this whole model of not lending, and of course, one of the reasons is that the banks, they like the credit card lending. They don't like, that's a better lend from them, less risk, okay, and way higher interest rates, and, you know, but it really does stunt the growth of our economy, because without the use of funds, you know, it's hard for the small business guy to start up. And I think that's something that, you know, you have to really look at from the core and say, how do I get this done right, and how do we get the system correct? Well, the only way you can get the system correct is if you get small business involved. Okay, you need innovators that can get their hands on some dough, okay, and build a business. Okay, you don't need the big guys thrashing all the little guys out of business. I mean, look, I give Jeff Bezos a lot of credit. I don't like him. I like Amazon, but I give him a lot of credit. And he built from nothing, okay, into, obviously, at one point on Thursday, he was the richest man in the world. But, you know, I don't like what they're doing now. Now, again, the reason that they're able to do that is because there is no competition, because of his access to capital, and his access to build things, and his access because of what's going on. You know, they get these big factories built or these big warehouses built. You know, little guys can't do that because they don't have any access to cash to begin with. So where are they going to go? And I think this is the bigger problem. This is where the unfair practice comes into play. This is where the unfair advantage of the Fed is, and the ability to get money. Okay, you know, Jeff Bezos. Again, I don't wish him ill harm. I mean, again, he's just a jackass in my opinion. But I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he can do these things because he's got access to money. And you know, again, you heard the old story: the rich get richer. And you know, it's all the sweet deals that you get when you're wealthy. You know, you get the extra points when you're lending. You get the cheaper rate when you're borrowing. You get people throwing money at you. You get, you know, the Warren Buffett deal got, you know, guarantees from Goldman Sachs when they were going under, so he was able to hold their stock. In the meantime, you know, the little guy gets nothing. And that's where I think that's the big disconnect. And this has been brought to you by only one party, the Federal Reserve. If the Federal Reserve weren't so inept at what they do, okay, you wouldn't have this problem. But what they've done is they've fed the wealthy for the last 10 years or eight, whatever it is, and they're going to continue to feed them. Now, again, I have no problem with the rich getting richer. I mean, they are around, but at the end of the day, you cannot continue on this path because you're wiping out an entire business, and you're getting very little entrepreneurial spirit now because there's nowhere to go. There's no money to get. It's hard to get it. You can't borrow it. You know, so you've got to go in and you get swallowed up. And of course, these big guys keep, you know, putting the little guys out of business as well. And that's where the unfair practice is. But it's really, I'm a capitalist. I have no problem with trying to beat your competition, but I'd like to see it a fair fight. Okay. You know, again, I've given this example before, but I'm going to give it one more time because it is important and it's big now. You know, with Walmart, you know, one of the things that made them so big is because they had small business guys that would come to them and, you know, they'd own them. They were innovating maybe products or whatever. And, you know, Walmart would own them basically because, you know, you couldn't supply anybody else. And then what Walmart would do is, first of all, they'd give them dating. So Walmart was borrowing money for free for 90 days, usually, like net 90. And they were breaking the small guy and they were breaking my margin. And then once they get the guy used his usefulness, they threw him out and they brought the product in themselves. They don't need anybody to bring product for them. They do it themselves. There's nothing that you got that they can't reproduce in a heartbeat if they want. But again, that's how they roll. You know, you think about it, they're borrowing billions of dollars at a time for free to stock all their stores. So the average little business guy is footing the bill for them. And of course, what do you get? You get nothing. So that's the bigger deal that, you know, we seem to not recognize when you get these big guys in there because they have an unfair advantage. Again, I'm not saying that they didn't earn it, but again, if you're on a free scale and a free system, then they wouldn't have the unfair advantage. But they're not, because you've got no little banks, and the little banks can't put up with the regulations because they put them out of business. So that kills it. And of course, the big banks aren't going to give away squat. Of course, you know, why? I don't know why they wouldn't. They get it back anyways. But again, this whole model is broken. And that, I think, is the bigger problem that we have here, is that, you know, it's got to be fixed. Now, again, it's not going to be fixed anytime soon. And, you know, you continue to have the rant to get the cheap and free money. So that's a problem. All right. And these are things that, you know, again, as much as we'd like to solve them, you know, they're not going to be solved because, again, the people that the legislators will never pass what we need them to do, because it would put them out of business. And then they lose that easy cush job that they wingle into. Again, it's a big problem. This is not something. This is not a small problem. This is a big problem. And, you know, I don't know, you know, how it's going to resolve eventually, but, you know, I think that, you know, it needs to be done. But anyways, this segment is brought to you by Casper Mattress. The pressure relieving memory foam and breathable springy layer come together to create a perfect sleep surface. That's Casper Mattress. And of course, for you listeners of the Bubba Show, Casper is offering $50 towards any mattress purchase at Casper.com. To receive your $50 towards any mattress purchase, go to CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow. Again, that's CasperTrial.com/TheBubbaShow for your $50 towards any mattress purchase. And don't forget, go to LibertyTalk.fm I got no product for sale, but got a great show you can download every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge, which is on tomorrow, which airs on the weekends. So go there and check it out, and check out BubbaTrading.com as well. Get yourself some good stuff and get signed for my newsletter. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of a break. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, we are being sponsored this segment by Audible Books. And of course, if you like to get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show, they have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. In the meantime, so the health care bill did not get passed, and no surprise, these guys are putzes anyways. And, of course, this is a battle to – it's. I think they're more battling to defeat Donald Trump than they are battling to get this done. I don't know. But I think they're making a mistake. I think you can see the American people – have spoken, and you know, they've I mean, Kid Rock is probably going to win if he runs for senator, and you know, we're having a change in the political arena of who gets in and who gets out. And of course, you know, you would think the markets might be down a little bit more today, but they weren't. I think that you've got you know, the NASDAQ remains under pressure, but, you know, at the end, it's really just a market that, you know, needs to sell off, is looking for a reason to sell off, but yet is really holding up, you know, fairly well. I mean, we're still very near all-time highs. I mean, the Dow is at an all-time high, so you've got some, you know, some things under pressure. You've got some things are going to happen, but at the end of the day, again, you can't tell the market what to do, and there's no telling what is going to drive the market lower eventually. I think you're seeing, you know, examples of a much too strong euro currency and a much too weak dollar, and of course, you know, somebody's going to get upset. You know, we talked about that a little earlier, but at the end of the day, you know, the picture does not look good, and anybody who says it does is blind, is wearing rose-colored glasses, as I would call them, because, again, I don't care that the market's up. I'm just saying that it isn't very good, and things are not very good, and the whole entire situation is not very good. But, you know, when you look at the game plan of what you get going, you know, you can certainly understand that the chase for yield, the pushing up around markets is still here. And, you know, but, you know, once we get rolling, you will see that the roll will not stop. You know, again, we're not at that stage yet. It's not ready. You can see, you can feel it. You know, it's not ready to go. But it, again, it will not announce itself either. It'll just, you know, out of nowhere, one day it'll show up and they'll start selling, and then they'll try to buy it again. And then, of course, the rally will fail and it'll get worse, and it'll reverse the pattern of higher highs and higher lows to the reverse of lower highs and lower lows. And that's something, you know, we talked about the last couple of days on our educational webinars and show. So when you look at it, I mean, of course, you know, Amazon, you know, is $80 off its high, but I mean, really, so what? It's $1,000. You know, it could go to 700 and still be a good play. You know, again, one of the things we seem to forget is that markets, you know, stocks do become overvalued. And if we don't, you know, manage ourselves, we can be creating a much bigger problem. Because if you go back again, I go back to 2011 with Apple when it was 700 the first time. They had phenomenal earnings. Everything was great. And the markets were growing up, but Apple came crashing down and got cut in half. Now, again, this is where the technical analysis portion of trading comes in. And understanding where you are, I mean, you know, we have to look at this from a potential risk-reward model and simply stated that, you know, how much more do you really think Amazon can go up? Can it go up another 5%, another 6%? Maybe another 10%. Can it? Sure it can. But can it go down 35%? Sure it can. So when you weigh, you know, the probability of the risk versus reward, you'd say, hey, maybe I want to take it easy here. And not that it makes it bad, okay? Not that it's going to be something terrible for the market, but, you know, the market's going to correct at some point. It's going to have a sell-off. And that's when you want to be the buyer, when we get the actual sell-off that all of a sudden is something for us to make it better. Not, you know, chasing it, trying to chase them up here like everybody else is. I mean, this is the spot, you know, where you have the contrarian point of view and not interested in just trying to chase the markets higher. Okay. Again, I understand it and I know what's going on, but my point is very simple. All right. You have to make sure that you're weighing the balance of risk versus your capital versus everything else you're trying to do. If you're going to continue to try to, you know, fight it up. Now, you know, look, if you're a very short term trader that you're trying to, you know, catch some of the momentum, I can understand that. I mean, I'm not a big fan, but I can understand that. But again, as an investor, these are the times you need to look for things that, you know, can bring you either value plays. All right. You know, can we find value in this market? Yeah, you can find values. There's always value somewhere. You know, even though markets go down, you know, they still go back up again. And even though certain stocks may be going down again, I always go back to Amazon as the simplest one. But, you know, in November of 2008, it was $30. And by the time the market actually bottomed, it was already 60. So, again, don't be afraid to buy something that is beaten down, that has value. You know, a company that you expect to be in business for, you know, an extended period of time. I mean, certainly you wouldn't buy like a Snap. You wouldn't buy here, in my opinion. I mean, I don't think they're going to be in business. I don't think they're very good. But again, an AT&T or a Halliburton or, you know, something that has duration and has been around would be something that I'd look to be buying here, that I could buy at what I would consider to value. All right. You know, if you look at, you know, any stock that's been, you know, hovering around and more towards its lows, you know, we went through this with ConocoPhillips a year ago or so when it was $31. All right. And, you know, we just said buy because it, again, could it go out of business? Yeah, it could. But most likely it was going to, you know, find a bottom and get a rally. And it certainly went from 31 to 50 before now back in the mid 40s. But again, you're trying to find value. That's the objective of being an astute investor, not the one who's trying to chase them up, because then you have to suffer the drawdown, but to try to pick them when they're closer to being value plays. You know, Apple earlier this year, you know, when it was down in the 110 area, you know, it was a value play. You know, I didn't necessarily suspect it there, but if you liked Apple, that was the place to buy it. You know, any of the stock, you know, it's always about value and what your expectations can be. And that's why, you know, I look at like an Alibaba at 155. To me, that's not a value there. Okay. It might go to 1,000, but for me, Alibaba is not a value. So I wouldn't be a buyer there. You know, I'd look to be, you know, at some of these other beaten down names. You know, even Microsoft when it was down in the 40s. I mean, they're not going out of business. Okay. McDonald's when it was down, you know, way down now, making new high after new high. Again, you know, the time to buy those is when good companies are at good levels that your expectations are that they will continue to rise or stay in business, and you get the, you get paid the dividend, not to try to buy them when they're chasing their way up. I mean, you know, I think, you know, again, this is not a great play, but I think like a silver SLV. Now, I'm not a huge fan of it to begin with, but I mean, you know, if I was going to get in silver, that would be, this would be a good place to enter. You know, that's when you look, that that's value we're talking about. You know, NVIDIA, when it was 15, not when it's 159, was a value play. But again, that was a little bit more of a higher risk. But my simple point is this, is that you want to find companies that you think are that have good values, that have good opportunities, and that look to be, you know, solid and the ability to go much higher. Not ones that look like they're kind of up against the upper end and like, well, maybe they can't go much higher. You know, and that's always the issue that is dealt with by many, but we all have the same, you know, mental outlook. We kind of jump in and, you know, try to, you know, catch on with everybody else. And that's the absolute wrong answer, is to do what everybody else is doing. The right answer is to do the work and the research yourself. And again, find solid companies. If you're investing and you're putting it away for a longer term, is to find solid companies that you expect to be around, number one, and number two, that pay dividends. And number three, that if you can buy value, A, you can either buy more, but you can get more bang for your investing dollar as well. Again, remember, it's investing. It's long term. It's not for tomorrow. So don't try and pick for tomorrow. Try to pick for, you know, things that you're going to be want to be in and that you're going to be willing to hold, and you're not going to get spooked, because that's the real way to become a much better trader and a much better investor, instead of trying to chase the markets. And I think this is that's a big problem that many of us have when we're doing this. So remember, today's show is brought to you by Audible. And for you, the listeners of The Bubba Show, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. Personally, again, I recommend Fed Up, as well as The Creature from Jekyll Island. And of course, they've got almost everything. Plus, they've got, you know, some self-help books and all kinds of great stuff. So you can check them out. And to get to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. Again, that's audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show for your free audiobook. And of course, for your free Bubba Show, you go to libertytalk.fm and download that every day, unless we turn it into a subscription model, which someday we may. But in the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we're going to step out here for a break. We're going to come back and listen to a little bit of Bill Whittle when we come back from the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, will be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, of course, this is Friday. And, you know, we haven't heard for a little while. We haven't heard from Mr. Bill Whittle. Let's go check out some Mr. Bill Whittle, the Republic of Emotion. Here we go.
Have you been feeling lately that the country's not only gone barking mad, that things are actually inverted? They're not just askew, they're upside down. Well, you're not alone. This is Andrea Yearwood from Cromwell High School in Connecticut. Andrea recently took first place in the 100 and 200 meter events in the women's division. Now, if you think this video is about the transgender phenomenon, well, it's not. It's much bigger than that. I believe everyone should have a chance to live their lives and pursue their own individual happiness as they see fit, unless and until it impacts someone else's pursuit of happiness. Andrea, you see, was born male. And Andrea's best time put Andrea roughly a second behind same-age boys and about a second or so ahead of same-age girls. And in a sport where victory is measured by a hundredth of a second, that's a pretty big difference. Now, Andrea handily beat all of the competition, all right. And the reason that Andrea handily beat the competition is because Andrea identifies as a girl. And since Andrea identifies as a girl, Andrea deprived dozens, if not scores, of competitors who do not identify themselves as girls because they are girls. Andrea's mother, Ngozi Najani, had this to say to the athletes and their families who felt cheated by Andrea's biological advantages when it comes to track and field. I know they'll say it's unfair and not right, but my counter to that is, why not? Yeah, why not indeed? She's competing and practicing and giving her all and performing and excelling based on her skills. Let that be enough. Let her do that and be proud of that. So the main thing here is this. Andrea feels good. Her mother feels good. And Andrea's coach, Brian Calhoun, feels good too. I have a spectacular female athlete, he gushed. There's nothing more to say. Only there was just a little more to say. To approach it any other way might create some sort of issue or conversation, added Coach Calhoun, and you're damn right it would. That is the sound of a man with a gun to his head. So, why is Andrea competing in and handily winning female athletics? Well, because Andrea wants to, that's why. For all of the young women out there who also want to win, the left is silent naturally, but behind the silence is this unspoken explanation. Yes, we're all about empowering girls, and yes, we want each of you to strive to be your best, and yes, we know you want to win too. But Andrea outranks you, you see. This one person's desire to win races is more important than the scores of you who also have a desire to win races. That's why. Why do they do this? Why are other girls forced to look down at their track shoes and pretend to celebrate the joyous diversity of a competitor born a man and who they have no chance whatsoever of defeating? Why? Why are these rules in place in America today? Well, because they have to be, that's why. Here in the Republic of Emotion, Andrea has to be able to compete with the girls because. If Andrea is not allowed to compete with the girls because Andrea has a man's body, well, then the entire progressive theory comes crashing to the ground, and I mean all of it. You see, to admit that Andrea has an unfair biological advantage is to admit that there are, in fact, irreducible differences between men and women, and that hurts some people's feelings, and so therefore it cannot be true, which is why Andrea gets to run in the women's division. Progressivism is the belief that anything a progressive wants is a fundamental human right, which others are obligated to tolerate and pay for without complaint, because if you do complain, it might create some sort of issue or conversation. Therefore, the fact that many high schools and virtually every college in America there has hundreds or thousands of teenage boys who run the 100-meter dash faster than the fastest woman alive, well, that's evidence that external reality not only exists, it also doesn't care about how much someone wants something to be true, and therefore external reality must be destroyed. Because if male athletes are faster and stronger than female athletes, despite the rhetoric and hysteria of intersectional feminists, for example, well, then that unpleasant truth means that there are other unpleasant truths as well. That healthcare isn't free. That wars are not the results of misunderstanding, but rather of antithetical and deeply held belief systems. That throwing an AR-15 into a volcano does not end madness and murder. Now, it all comes down, all of it. So, Andrea gets to race with the girls because if the power of rhetoric and fanaticism cannot make that fair and equal, then when you get right down to it, rhetoric and fanaticism really aren't worth a damn, are they? Hey, speaking of rhetoric and fanaticism, culture and gender studies researcher Wendy Stark says that classical physics is oppressive, and therefore new laws of physics, feminist quantum, says Stark, will have to be devised. Why will the structure of the universe have to be reordered on less patriarchal lines? Well, because according to Ms. Stark, the structural thinking of individualized separatism with binary and absolute differences as the basis for how the universe works, seeped into, poured over, is embedded in many structures of classification which understand similarity and difference in the world imposed in many hierarchical and exploitative organizational structures, whether through gender, life, non-life, national borders, and so on. Part of this absence is the frequent subsuming of intersectional identities under supposedly accompanying meta-identities more readily recognized by or as hegemonized groupings. Hegemonized groupings. I'm not smart enough to really understand it. It's like E equals MC squares. It's only smarter because there are bigger words and there are a lot more of them. Now, that's how physics works here in the Republic of Emotion. Not every action has an equal and opposite reaction, but rather every non-hierarchically determined community-based mobilizing event has a fully equal, diverse, and joyous reaction that may at times seem to be non-consensual to the pervading artificial direction matrix applied by patriarchal white supremacists as a result of their racist privilege. Having fits about not getting what you want is not progressive or enlightened. It's childish. It is instead the morality and ethics of a spoiled child having a temper tantrum on the floor at Walmart because mommy didn't get them the toy that they wanted. And if they keep it up, these people may soon discover that they are poorly equipped to survive in a world where law and reason are abandoned at the starting line because, despite our very best wishes, hundreds of airplanes have crashed into mountains and the mountain wins every time.
And of course, that's Bill Whittle. And, you know, obviously he has an opinion and certainly makes a lot of very valid points about, you know, what's going on in this world and why everything has to be, you know, so perfect. Again, I don't, you know, quite understand it. It's just this the same thing as you can relate it to any business and to the way that we're thinking. And again, it's an unfair advantage, of course, to have things like that. But that's really, you know, kind of where we are in the world today. And I think that is, you know, a big part of the problem. The you know, the award trophies and the you know, the what do they call them, sharing or participation stuff. I mean, you know, again, that I think reduces, and this is where you see a lot of the colleges, you know, where they've become, you know, you can't say something bad or whatever. I don't know. I just thought I'd share that with you. I thought it was pretty interesting. And, you know, of course, it's a good way to end the week with Mr. Bill Whittle. I think that his stuff is really good, and I enjoy it. You know, of course, the markets themselves are, you know, they don't care about anything, right? They have no bias. They just want to make money, and you know, who's ever got the right position on will will make the money. And I think that's something that you got to look at and learn from markets, you know, again, because the overall the world it has gone mad, and you know, these just there's so many things and that you just can't even fathom that would have happened, you know, years ago. And you know, I'm not saying that they're all bad, but I'm just saying that a lot of it is, you know, it kind of, as Kramer said on Seinfeld, kooky talk. But in the meantime, you know, this has been you know, the Bubba Show, and of course, you know, we always enjoy being here, and want to make sure that you know, watch your portfolio, you know, check out what you're doing, you know, go to BubbaTrading.com and look at some of the things we talk about, because again, you know, we play videos for you, we play webinars, and you know, of course, we want to make sure that at the end of the day that you're learning something and you're protecting your money, because that's what it's all about. And of course, you go to LibertyTalk.fm anytime you miss a show. You can download it every time. We've got some other great shows on the network as well. And in the meantime, also, you can get the Sporting Edge there. So, you know, make sure you check it out. And, you know, don't forget to watch Bubba's Bottom Line. You know, I do it once a week, and it's about a 30-minute, you know, video. And I get to rant and rave with my blood pressure machine going. And, of course, I got high blood pressure, so I got to worry about it. In the meantime, this has been the Bubba Show. Todd, Bubba Horace, everybody have a great weekend. As always, I appreciate you being here each and every day. And thank you for that. We will see you back here on Monday. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace, every week. All right, thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.